disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
A life down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
God's choice for your life and my life, and that our path, our walk, is a sovereign walk. God's completely in control, and we're calling our teaching today God's Chosen Path. God's Chosen Path. Heavenly Father, help us to hear this morning. Help us, Father, not to have those wrong attitudes, to get self in the way that can be such a hindrance in receiving the seed, the life of your word. And Father, we desire above all that you are glorified. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. God's chosen path. See, God has chosen a path for us, and he gets our attention in this walk, and he knows how to do it. God is a master at getting our attention, whether it be through a trial, whether it be through a time when there's great joy, blessing, or when it's a time when it feels completely barren, or God seems to be a million miles away. Whatever the circumstances, whatever you're going through, whatever you feel, whatever, God has chosen a path in which he gets our attention. But we're not always aware of that. There's seasons for these things. There's a time when we sense and feel God's presence, and there's a time and a season when it seems we don't. And of course, we have scripture for that. And there is a reason for these seasons, because these seasons are to get our attention. It doesn't take much for us to be distracted, to be sidetracked. It doesn't take much for us to start listening to the devil and flirting with the powers of darkness. We are all vulnerable and weak. And this is why God calls and chooses the weak of this world. We are absolutely vulnerable in ourselves. And God allows us sometimes to just show us just what we were, in a sense, how vulnerable, how weak, how useless, ineffectual we were, and what he is doing and accomplishing in each of us. This is why the world in general is not that interested in us. It doesn't have much time for us. We're not exactly dynamic, are we? And so it's God's choice at the end of the day. And if God calls us, which he does from the foundation of the world, then he provides, preserves, and keeps that which he has called. Else it won't survive. It'll perish, I can assure you, and it'll perish quicker than we realize. So within God's providence, there is a pathway chosen for each of us. And yet, with these diverse pathways that we all have, we also make up the unity and oneness of the body, because that pathway is eventually going to lead to the same person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ and his glory. But nevertheless, God has chosen a path for each of us. And that path is so that he gets our attention. He gets our all. He gets our faith. He gets that right confession from us. He gets that mustard of seed. Whatever it is he's getting from us is for the purpose of his glory. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not necessarily what I get out of this. In actual fact, as we go on in this walk, we're realizing we're getting probably nothing out of this in that sense of self. And rightly so, because self is crucified with Christ. That is the reason. Let's turn to Psalm 37. We know this well. Psalm 37. And in, well, let's take it from verse 3, actually, because it actually leads into this. Psalm 37. And let's take it from verse 3, just a few verses here. Trust in the Lord and do good, and dwell in the land, and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he goes on confirming he will bring it to pass. So it's all about committing, trusting, looking to him, and he will bring it to pass. And it's not just about certain areas that you may be seeking God, but your whole life, your whole consecration as a believer is a commitment to the Lord. We have made a commitment to him. He has made a commitment to us. It's called covenant. And that's what you do. That's how relationships can be built upon. That's how marriages can be built upon. And that is certainly how we're built upon with the Lord Jesus Christ. I have committed myself to him. He has committed himself to me. And in that faithfulness, which is what he is, he says, the promise is, that he will bring it to pass. What will he bring to pass? His plans, his will, his ways, his blessings, even the desires of your heart, all will be, as he says here, brought to pass. Everything that God has decreed will be brought to pass. Let's make no bones about it. We're living in a generation now where they're mocking us and jeering at us because we believe in the coming of the Lord, that we believe that he will come to rule and reign upon the earth. We're in a time where we are being mocked and will be mocked more and more as man's technology rises up in opposition against God. Technology, what is behind technology fundamentally, is rebellion against God. Because it's growing to such a rate now, it's breaking through in such ways that, you know, it blows your mind. It's all a control of the powers of darkness to rebel against God. That's fundamentally what is behind it. That is why we need to be on our guard with technology. Yes, we're using technology. We're using it today. But it has to be used for the glory of God. In other words, we control it. It doesn't control us. And there's the balance, as God removes it. And the reason that I believe God has permitted technology, permitted that this meeting goes out online today, because he sees we are balanced with it. But if we do not become balanced with technology, he will remove it. And he will remove these meetings either as well going out online. So we're tried, we're tested in all these things. This is why he's chosen a path for us. There's a lot of things that don't make sense to me with regard to this church. But I've now settled that, and I leave that with God. Because he is on the throne, he is God, he makes no mistake. And that is what love and commitment and faithfulness is about. The less you question God and his ways, the greater will be your peace and your joy in the Lord. Because he makes no mistake in the path that he has chosen for each of us. You see, God is showing us to walk with him and the blessings which he has. That's the result of it. You see, our training as overcomers is so that we learn to experience that we walk with God. That you're not separate from him. That somehow he's up there and you're down here, which indeed he is. But he also says, you draw close to me and I will draw close to you. So it means that the overcomer, the path that he has chosen for us ultimately is that we walk with God 24/7 in unbroken fellowship. And that's really what he's doing. He's showing us this. And he's allowing the trials and the tests and everything, the experiences of your life and walk with him, all of that is tailor-made for you to experience that walking with God. That is the ultimate blessing. The blessing of our salvation and restoration is that I may walk with my Maker and Creator, being restored back to the paradise conditions that Adam was created for the glory of God. That is what an overcomer is. That is what the deeper life is, that I experience a walk with God, in fellowship with him. That's ultimately it. And this includes your trials in order for this to be accomplished. Don't plan your days, your weeks, your months without God, because you will get into circumstances not chosen of God for you. You will. If you plan your days, your weeks, your months, all the while he tarries, you do it and you exclude God from that, you will find yourself in circumstances he has not chosen for you. In other words, you've gone out of the will of God, the permissive will of God. We've talked much about that over the years. Do you know that is an area that is not taught hardly at all in churches? I know I used to share sometimes with believers, say, well, you know, that's the permissive will of God. What do you mean the permissive? What are you talking about? They hadn't a clue that that is in the Bible. Until, of course, you explain and reveal how saints went out of the will of God. Oh, I see. That's what, because they were not seeking God in their daily walk. We all of us have commitments. We all of us have duties. We've all of us got responsibilities. But don't exclude God from that. That should be part of your life, your walk, your confession, your prayer life, so that he's in that. And we certainly need that now in these last days, because the devil's out to trap us. And sometimes the pressure gets on us, doesn't it? Sometimes, you know, you just feel there's not enough hours in the day. You need God with you under those pressures. How should you go under? Do you still plan and not consider him or think it's vital or important enough? He'll chasten us until we see it is important. We've just read it there. And the scriptures are filled with all of this, you see. Because if you're to walk with God and he's to walk with you, you have to walk in agreement. Because one can't decide one's going to go left and one's going to go right. You've got to decide who's going to win here. And that is the problem today. That's why marriages don't work. This is why relationships don't work and so forth. Because one wants to go right and the other one wants to go left. And each want their own way. That's where the cross comes in. Because God is going to guide us. He's always in control. And thank God he is. You see. We tend to think still it's just in major spiritual matters and that it's important to seek the Lord. But in practice, it's not really necessary. It is. God desires to be in the most minutest things.
Yes, amen.
Because that's what you do in relationship. That's what you do. That's what a husband and wife do. They talk about sometimes trivial things, but it's still in the conversation. It's not just the important things. That's the whole point. That's what relationship is about. And we see in verses 8 and 9 of this psalm, cease from anger and forsake wrath, do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the land. And a land is to be inherited. We're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. It means we're going to inherit, take back what Satan has stolen. This is why it's a school of waiting for the overcomer. That school of waiting is Revelation 12, the man-child in the womb, waiting for its ministry to come in the future. This is why I keep stressing to you, our future is the greatest future you have in the whole world out of everyone. You have the greatest future set in front of you. And yet it looks ridiculous, doesn't it? Laughable. How could you ever work this out? You can't. But we have. We know we have. We don't have to search scriptures for this. I know sometimes it's hard to wait. You think, how long does this take? Well, I've got good news for you. For me, it's now over 40 years. You haven't met that yet. Some of you are not far behind, but it's 40 years. And you know what? I'm still rejoicing and praising God. Because when you have got a vision, no man can take that from you. See, God gave me that when he saved me. And the prophecies that I had when God moved a prophet alongside years and years ago, confirming this ministry, because I was so insecure at that time, and the prophecies that I have had, they're all being fulfilled.
Praise him.
Even this moment.
Hallelujah.
You see? It's that Jesus. Anchor that God gives you. So don't fret.
Mm.
Because if you start fretting, it causes harm. And we can harm ourselves so easily. Jesus. We can be open targets. We can let those doors open and you'll guess who will come in and start buffeting. You see? We can be our own worst enemies at times. Mm. But God's delivering us from that, is he not?
Mm. Amen.
You see, he says, doesn't he, in here, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Do not fret. It only causes harm. That's an interesting word, that. Do not fret, because it means to get out of joint, to be disjointed. So we don't want to be disjointed because things may be not going as we thought. It means to be mentally or spiritually out of joint. I'm not thinking right as I should be. And sometimes we go through, don't we? We go through a real battle. We've gone through a real trial where we just sort of say, okay, I just need to just have a week off, or just give me some time. I need to focus. I need to get mentally back, you know, sound. Because we've had a real bashing. The enemy's had a real go. And so God knows how much we can take, you see. So that's what it's referring to there, which it means. And of course, he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. So it says, don't be disjointed. Don't be mentally disturbed, because it looks as though the wicked are triumphing. It looks as though that person that's really done the dirty on you is laughing, jeering, prospering, really boasting in what they have done. Don't be disjointed by that. And that one is one of the hardest. You know, when it seems as though the wicked and what they have done, or they've done to you, or done to your family, or whatever it is, seems to be prospering. Laughing. Everything is going so well for them. That is a hard one. If you've never experienced that. But their day is coming. Mark my words. So don't fret. Don't fret in trials. Don't fret what is happening. You see, resting in God is to do with your relationship with God. You can rest in God to the amount that you are in relationship with him. You see, if you're in relationship with him, that unbroken fellowship, then it's not going to be any demand that's set on you that you can't do, because that is part of your waiting on him for that very purpose of relationship, which of course we know. Because you see, worry and anxiety often results as because of sin. If you are in anxiety and worry, which hinders that relationship that you have with God, because it's so contrary to the Lord, it's often a sign you're in sin, or you have sinned, and you need to get back to God. Because the sign of getting back to God is the peace of God, which passes all understanding. So this is where the enemy tries to trick us. This is where he tries to get in, to get us to compromise, to sin, which in return then brings that anxiety, that worry. And he knows that if he's got hold of you with worry and anxiety, there is no way you are going to have that mustard seed of faith that will glorify God. You won't. He's not stupid on that. See, that mustard seed of faith must have the right environment and the conditions in order for seed to be sown. I go back again to the parable of the sower. You can't sow seed into hard ground. You cannot sow seed into ground that has not been prepared. It's impossible. And so these are the attacks the enemy tries to work on us. And where does he work? In the mind. Always in the mind. Is your mind under attack? Clear sign. That's the enemy. And the reason that we're under attack is because I still choose to believe it. Because I am not quite sure yet of the Father's love. I'm not persuaded quite enough yet. And so that door can open up, hence the attack in the mind. When my mind is attacked, or whatever it is not rocket science. God is still working with me, confirming his character, his faithfulness, his love, which we stressed on Tuesday. I know that was a hard word, and I know it exposed a lot, but it comes back to the character of God himself. God is working with us where he doesn't have to keep proving himself to us. You cannot build a relationship where you have to keep proving your love for that person. You know, all the while, one in the relationship, just tell me you love me. Just tell me, you know, and I'll be happy. But they're not, because a week later, they're going to be asking the same thing. Mm-hmm. When you know somebody loves you and you're loved back, you don't keep asking questions. You don't keep questioning it. It's an anchor in your life. Even if it's tested or tried. I know she loves me. I know he loves me. And I don't have to keep asking this all the time. No, we're not perfect. We might forget sometime. Yeah, you may have forgotten the anniversary. But that doesn't change the fact that I know he or she loves me. How much more than with God? And God's saying, come on, grow up. You know I love you. You know I will not forsake you. I will not leave you. I will provide, I'll do everything. You don't want me to keep telling you that. And what do we do? Lord, give me a scripture. Oh, just show me something. Quicken it to me. Show me that you love me. I don't get them now. I don't go to the Word of God now. I don't need to keep looking at a scripture to convince me that God's going to bless me or he's with me or whatever it is. I don't need it. I've said, Lord, don't do it, because I'm not going to grow otherwise. You are enough. You provided. That pleases the Father's heart. That's what he's doing with you and I, my friends. And I know it's not easy. Growing up is not easy. It's hard. It's hard. But I'll tell you what, when you come through, when you come through this trial, when you come through where you're no longer listening to the lies of the enemy, you're going to praise and thank the Lord. And those hands will lift up in worship and praise to him. Because you know nothing can separate me from the love of God. That's what the Apostle Paul experienced. But he had to go to prison. He had to have his back lacerated. He had to be stoned twice. He had to be shipwrecked. Does it sound familiar? I mean, none of us will go through that by the mercy and grace of God, because we now have the Holy Spirit. He's baptizing us into the experience of God's love. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
So don't fret. Don't worry. Don't let your mind become dislodged. Because that's what it does. And then the enemy gets in and he starts buffeting like he does. You see, the trouble is the world has so brought us up and conditioned us and deceived us into thinking that a little worry and concern tells us how wise we are. So I need to be wise. It's common sense. That's what the world has taught us. And we're still getting delivered from that one. It's actually an indication of our sin and unbelief. You see, we were never saved to plan our own lives for fear and worry in every trial. We weren't saved for any of that. You were saved to let go of the planning of your life. the organizing of your life, the worry over your life, the future. What does it hold for me? You are saved to let go of all of that. It's no longer your concern. The pathway that God has planned for you and I is not our concern. All he wants us is to believe that he has planned it, and it will be a blessing. He doesn't give anything that's bad, that is wrong, deceiving, corrupt, anything but. So this is why I'm stressing our future is the greatest future that we have on planet Earth. We are the only people walking on this Earth, and we're just a handful who have the greatest future set for us. And it's not a future just for a season, it's a future for eternity. It will never end. Think about that. We were saved to glorify God and to accomplish his plans for our lives. And that's why we have to trust him, that we don't take the wrong way. And if we find ourselves taking the wrong way or the wrong turning, we get straight on that course by repentance. This is why I say constantly, if you are aware of something or you've fallen short of the highest mark, the standard, repent. Do not leave it. This is why our relationship, our walking with God 24/7 is so vital, because sin, unbelief will break that relationship. And if we treasure it and we love him and we love his presence, you know what to do. You confess, you get before God immediately. It is that important. Nothing else is greater than you're getting right with God. Whatever the demands are upon you, whatever somebody may be demanding or requiring your attention, the greatest attention we give to is repentance if we have fallen short. That is paramount. Because everything within you wants to run away. That is the nature of sin. That is immediately what Adam and Eve did. They ran away from God's presence. They hid themselves. That's what it does. You have to fight that. You have to defy it. You have to call upon God's grace and mercy to enable, to help you to deal with this immediately. It's important for the overcomer. It really, really is. You see, fretting and worrying is a sign I want my own way. And that's another thing he's dealing with. We're wanting our own way. And when we can't get our own way, we become unhappy. We become vexed. We start to worry. We start to become anxious because I can't get my own way. And God's still dealing with that one with us. And he's going to deal with it and deal with it until it doesn't matter anymore. It's not an issue anymore. It doesn't matter in the light of God's plan and his path, the path that he has for me. That is the most important thing, that I am walking in the will of God on that path that he has for me. This is why he deals with us in the way that he does. You see, so often our own soulish wisdom has been feeding on this worry and this anxiety and this planning things. Somehow we've got this idea in unbelief that it's too much for God to handle. That's why I have to be in control. Because it's just too much for him, so he expects me to play my part. So I'll plan my life, I'll plan my future, not realizing we're doing it out of the will of God. And it's harmful. These days are getting too short for us now as overcomers. We've got to deal with this. We've got to overcome this one, because there's future things, there's greater things that are ahead of us, that we've got to be in the will and plan of God to meet on. If you're out of the will of God, you're no good for spiritual warfare. You're no good when the enemy comes, if you're out of the will of God. If we're out of the will of God, if some of us in this body are out of the will of God, we can't. How can we really be in true unity and oneness? How can we pray effectively? You see, because we're still planning our own lives, doing our own things. God isn't going to have it. We have to be yielded over to His will. You see, this is why our meetings are important. We don't have to find, is it the Lord's will that I should be there or not? Nobody has done. And everyone that's in this meeting, in this room here today, you didn't go before God, Lord, is it your will I should be at the meeting today or not? Give me a sign. Speak to me in the scriptures or whatever. Of course you didn't do that. You know where He wants you to be. You see? And there's the rest. There's the peace. There's God in front, leading and guiding. And that's the walk we're coming into. Because then faith can operate in that environment. Faith cannot operate where there is worry, fear, anxiety. It is completely contrary. You can't feed properly in that. And this is exactly what the enemy's doing. You know, I really woke up to this a few weeks ago, and I'm sure you have all seen this, but what is happening now in, let's take this country, we're finding now, aren't we, where there's an exposure at the moment going on. You've heard all the news media and everything. There's this political correctness that has now become a control. That every one of us now are all under the spotlight. We could all be sued. Nobody is safe. We've all got to be careful what we say, that we don't offend anyone. Everyone is under the spotlight. We have got this puritanical demon that is taking over in this country. What is it producing? Fear. Fear, suspicion. It is eroding away with love, peace, joy, all those things that love is associated. What is taking over is fear. And that is exactly what the enemy wants. They are the conditions that he is creating, not only in this country, around the world, so that he can start to control and bring the mark of the beast in, which he's working. He's not stupid. And man falls for it. Because we no longer believe that God will expose, that God will deal, that God will chastise, or whatever it is. Man has got to be in control and do it. It's called humanism.
Revenge.
Everybody's out for revenge. Everybody's out to, everyone in the wings are watching now when somebody is exposed, and all the hypocrisy there. It's like years back when somebody was sent to the gallows, they all came out. We know through the French Revolution they came out and they brought their picnics out and they drank and they sat there and watched as they were guillotined. That's the environment. That's what we're moving into. Human nature doesn't change. There's nothing new under the sun. And so, although we are priding ourselves how we're now dealing with these things, and these things that go back 30, 40 years or whatever. And I'm not excusing any of this, but what I am saying is the hypocrisy that is behind it all. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. The message does not change. And that is what Jesus would say today, whether it to be politicians, to lawyers, police, or whatever. Because it's true. It's true. But we're getting an environment where there's fear now. And what hath fear? Torment. These are demons, demonic forces being unleashed. I was only talking to someone the other day, and he said something, and he said, oh gosh, he said, is that politically correct or not? And I looked, I said, brother, man, you're free. And that really spoke to me, and it wasn't outrageous at all, but I just thought that spoke volumes to me. And he said, cool, you could get sued, couldn't you, for saying that? I said, unfortunately, yes, you could. It's all money. So it goes back, litigation, money. I said this to my lawyers when I went through what I went through. I said, none of us are safe now, are we? I said, we can all be sued. And those lawyers bowed their head. They didn't say anything to me. They knew what I was saying. And they're getting wealthy out of it, believe me. But that's another subject, the path that God has set for us. That's what we're talking about. And what a wonderful path it is, because it leads to Jesus. Hallelujah. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91, verse 1 says, he's got us, he's leading us, he's guiding us. He's in complete control over everything. You see, what you have, what you've been concerned about, what has occupied your time, fretting, worrying, anxieties, all those things, and yes, we've all been subject to it, and probably we may still be subject to it. But remember this when it starts or it tries. Lord, you have my path under complete control. Mm-hmm. And that dispels all of that. You see? It's what you've got to come against the powers of darkness, because he suggests all these things to our minds. And I know at times we've planned and run before God. Who hasn't done it? Who didn't do it in the Bible? But God has a way of catching up, because he's going to show us that his plans are the best plans for our lives. And it's not only that, but it's often our deliverance as well. And this is why he's delivering us in the mind and in the heart. And we've got to stop planning independently of God. And that is why we need a prayer life, and that is why a prayer life is so essential, because that helps you stop doing that. When you have that daily prayer life committed before God, that time where you go into the closet with him, that is a lot of time in dialogue where future things are talked through, are they not? And if you can't talk about that with God, who can you talk to about? And he knows the commitments in our lives. He knows what we have to do. But I tell you what, the joy of this walk is knowing that when I go to work, or when I have to do something, or whatever's required of me, I don't do it on my own. It's shared with the Lord. That's the blessing of salvation, knowing that when I work this day, I really work for him. And I do it unto him. And whatever trials come up in this job or whatever it will be, he will be there. He will resolve it. He will give me the wisdom, the guidance, or whatever to do. I can't explain the times that God's got me out of a situation that I haven't got a clue. I don't know what to do. I haven't got a clue, Lord. And the Lord often says, well, what's that in your hand? You know? And then suddenly you see something, or whatever it was. I marvel at the way God works through the most smallest thing. I was so touched today. So touched today. Got in the car. Our sister said to me, what's these glasses on the floor? Well, they'd fallen down. I knew something had fallen down. And praise the Lord, Jean found them. But what she didn't realise was, God used that to say, you've forgotten your glasses. Go back and get them, you see. I'm hoping I come to a day by faith where that's not needed anymore, because I've been healed in Jesus' name. And by faith I am. And the Lord's been testing me in the area of healing recently. None of you have known this, but I've had a real onslaught from the enemy with eczema. Now, I was healed over 30 years ago from eczema, and it was a miracle how God did that. And I remember the testimony I gave on it, and it was such an encouragement, because I suffered badly with eczema as a child and so forth. I mean, sometimes my arms and feet looked like third degree burns. It was that bad. And the enemy's been trying to put it back on me, on my face, in my head, hands, arms. Come with vengeance. Not only that, but it burns. You it's like you get a hot temperature with it, and the irritation is indescribable, and it starts to weep and so forth. It's a horrible thing. And so I said, Lord, have I opened the door? This generally is related to fear, anxiety. It's a stress related thing. And I kept thinking, well, am I? I thought, well, no, you know, if any time this could have happened was when I went through that real trial after my mother died. But no. And I thought, no, I'm being tested. The enemy's trying to get a foothold. That spirit is trying to get back in. And all the while, it was like it was outside. It wasn't a part of me. It was an outside thing. That's what I was discerning. I thought, yeah. I know where this is coming. I know, and God is testing me to see if I'm going to hold on, confessing that I was healed at Calvary, and that testimony I gave. And I battle, yes, it was over a month, whatever. Yeah. Yes, getting worse. And the enemy saying, go and get that cream, go on, you know, that'll clear it up as quick as anything. I thought, no, I don't. This is about your glory. This isn't about me. This is about what you accomplished at Calvary. And held in there. And some days my face looked like a lobster. Some were saying, you've got high blood pressure, or whatever it was, because I knew what was going on. Praise God. I have broken through. And even now, as I'm saying this, the enemy is trying to say, well, you're giving out this testimony, but I'm going to be on your back next week. You'll have to go back on all you said. See, he's even speaking now. I know those demons, how they work. I know the attacks you go under sometimes when you give a testimony, and he says, right now, you've had it, you're going to look an idiot. I know how he works. But God has a path for you and I.
Amen.
Stay on it. Don't deviate. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. God has made no mistake. He's toughening us up, as I bring this to a close now. He's toughening us all up. Why? Because they're not standing out in that world. They're falling. They're becoming more and more dependent on the world, on the state, on technology, on medical science, you name it. They are completely controlled by it. And that's what the enemy wants us to be as well. And this is why the Lord is toughening us up now, so that we stand in this last lap. We're coming up to the last lap. And what is the last lap like? It's
toughest.
In the natural, it's the worst, because you've got nothing left. You've used all your energy up, everything you know, and here, you know, you watch them in a race. Mm. That's what sorts them out, those who've got it.
Got the stamina.
You know, some of those, you listen to these athletes that on these long, grueling races, they win that race sometimes simply because today they're in good health. Or they're not being attacked, or they had a virus maybe 2 weeks ago that's left them slightly weak, or whatever it is. They've won that race simply on that basis, how physically they are, you know? Because they're all pretty good, they have to be in those races, but they win it on that. And it's like what we're going through, isn't it? It's like, you know, I haven't anything left. I feel as though I have no more energy. There's nothing more. I feel as though I can't pray anymore. Even speaking in tongues at times seems to be an effort, whatever it is. It's because we're coming up to this last lap. But don't fear. The pathway has been prepared. That pathway for the overcomer is the crown of life. Is the goal. Is the victory. He's already seen it accomplished and finished. That's why it doesn't make any sense, because there's no more strength that's left in you and I. Everything that we thought has been shattered. Every preconceived idea of what we thought an overcomer was or what it's going to be, God has brought it down for a purpose and a reason, that it may be all of Him and not of us, you see. That is why this pathway for each of us is so essential. Are we resting in His chosen path? In the flesh, you don't like it. In the flesh, we don't like God's ways. In the flesh, we don't like God's glory. In the flesh, we don't like God, period. So what is new? There's nothing new. So don't rely on the flesh where God is concerned. Let the new creation, the new spirit, the new heart, the new being that you are in Christ, let that rise up and glorify God. Because flesh has got nothing to do with this. That is why the cross is there to deal with this. And your path, my path, that God has chosen for each of us is for this ultimate purpose, which if you haven't got underlined, I suggest you do so or memorize it. Isaiah 42 and verse 8. Isaiah 42 and verse 8. I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. And that is it, period. That is the sovereignty of God. I wouldn't even try questioning it, arguing with it, even try and work it out. That is what God has said. That is, and that is where He is glorified, and that is where He will be glorified with the overcomers, the first fruits unto the Lord. That path that He has chosen for each of us is that He might be glorified. Period. You don't have to apologize for that. You don't have to compromise for that. You don't have to do anything. God will watch over His glory.
Amen.
That's the sovereignty of the Lord. Well,
so disaster, let Him in constancy follow.